I mean, it's been such a long time. Well, last time you saw me was when I was going up with Anita, and that was such a. It seems like such a long time ago. It was such a long, strange affair. It was almost a sort of near the end, it turned into a who could manipulate the other affair, and after that, I had an affair, a long relationship, which was, I guess, a bit closer to love with Connie. And for a while, it was going very, very well, but eventually it deteriorated. I imagine it was through to boredom, or well, youthful wandering. But I had an interesting experience when I went to Europe with Hunt. I did learn a lot. He was I couldn't really believe it with him. It seemed so strange at the time. Learned a lot about Huntley. But the first thing he wanted to do after we got off the plane was we took the subway down to Soho, and we hadn't slept all night. And the first thing he wanted to do was go to a porno movie in Soho. And I found this extremely strange because here you are on a different continent, and all the person wants to do is go see a porno flick. So I was satisfied that. Well, I said, all right, I mean, who am I to argue? Because you're trying to satisfy each other on a trip like this. And I went around and took some pictures, and he went saw his flick. But the whole thing about the trip was, for the first week and a half, is that he was trying to, and well, let's say, well, make himself more important than I was by belittling me. It was crazy. He used things like he tried to belittle, like, make himself seem superior to me by simple things like that I wouldn't say please all the time, and things like that. And this eventually got to me, and by the time we reached Amsterdam, which was about 10 days into the trip, well, I'd say about, well, actually less than 10, maybe 9 or 8, I was very, very fed up, and I eventually told him that I was going to Copenhagen, our next destination, about a day early. And I left, but I missed the train by about half an hour, so I was stuck in Amsterdam for another 12 hours, because the next train didn't leave till the next morning. And by sheer fate, I met this guy from Norway. And he kind of gave me a bit more confidence in myself after the low, or the suppression I was feeling from Hunt. And we talked a lot, and we went out to bars, and he eventually showed me where he was living, which was a very pathetic little dormitory above a garage. And I ended up catching sleep in a train station in Amsterdam. And then after that, I went to Copenhagen, and I met an old friend there who had gone to Crane Wilson for a year, named Bo, who showed me all around the city and all that. And we became very, very close because I imagine he used me as a link to all. Well, you see, he missed his home country very much, and or he missed his friends in Canada very much, and I missed a decent person to talk to a lot. So we just clicked because we needed each other at that point in time. It was very, very close to a love affair. because well, we really needed each other, and it was very physical. It didn't come down to homosexuality or anything, but it was just very physical, and it was a very interesting experience. We hugged a lot, and we, you know, actually held hands. But that may sound strange, but in Europe, it's considered, you know, acceptable by social standards. And basically, we toured Europe with the same antagonism after Hunt came to Copenhagen. We toured it with the same antagonism, him always wanting to make a good impression on people, and me just basically, well, you know, it's hard to make a martyr of myself, but I just wanted to be honest and trying to fit in with everyone without being presumptuous or creating airs about the whole thing. And we got back to England, and he'd known some friends in England from a while back, and he obviously tried to make, as you know, as was par for the whole trip, he tried to make himself superior to me, and I fought it, but unfortunately I fell into the trap of, you know, not of I don't know, he's a very manipulative sort of character, and I fell into the trap of, by fighting it, he would take advantage of that and make me somehow seem more inferior. And it got to a point, we went to this rock festival in England, and it got to a point where I literally attacked him on the second day of the festival, and a band called Iron Maiden was just up to play, who were self-proclaimed devil worshippers. And the aura of, well, let's say bad vibes, but there was an aura of evilness over the whole festival of 30,000 people. And I perhaps got caught up in this, or perhaps it was just coincidence that I couldn't take any more of Huntley's crap. And I literally attacked him and tried to beat him up. Fortunately, after about 10 seconds, I got control of myself and tried to stop it. But up to that time, during that point, I was ready to really, really lay into him, and I was very ashamed of myself afterwards. Eventually, his friends, or the group of people who were hanging around with at the festival in England, started to see through it. And if we had been there a bit longer, I'm sure they would have, you know, accepted me as a fellow person, or a fellow member of their little clique, which is, you know, they had little cliques since they lived in a small town, you know, people, and they tend to stick together because they really didn't have anyone else to stick together with. So after that, we got back after going to Edinburgh, and we got back to Ottawa, and there was sort of an ambience about myself. I thought that it was as if I was walking around with some sort of aura, but actually, you know, all it really was this worldly knowledge that I wasn't so localized as I was before I left. I could, you know, people who haven't really traveled too much are very well localized and very concerned they find meaning or identity, you could say, with small petty little things that are going around with them. Or little social crises or dilemmas, and they find meaning from that. But I had surpassed that, which was a new experience for me. And throughout the school year, I did at a point get back with Connie. And we were in love for a point. I guess the closest thing I know to true love now, which it obviously wasn't because we're still together. But at the time it seemed very, very real. And I don't know, man, I loved her. I really did love her at a point. I felt really good about the whole thing because, well, how can you explain love? But it's something I haven't really found since then, or I haven't really found someone I really want to fall in love with since then, which I imagine is all right. I mean, I don't think it's abnormal because I'm not trying to fight it. But secretly, I still am searching for another girl to fall in love with to the same degree or perhaps more. I agree, you know, they're unfortunately, a lot of our relationship depended on the sexual relations we were having together. And, you know, the closest we'd ever come in our relationship was at a point where I thought she had actually become pregnant. And one day we talked and we were almost certain she was pregnant, which in fact we later found out wasn't true, but at that point we were almost certain she was pregnant, and there seemed to be a fantastic bond which formed between us. We were just sitting there holding hands, and I was saying that I would help her through the whole thing, and we agreed not to you know, have an abortion. We agreed to carry it, and it was just some sort of some sense of divine love. We were both, you know, indeed we were too young to actually, well, maybe not, but we were a bit young to understand what was going on, like understand the seriousness of it. Although it kept me up many, many nights. And I'm sure it kept her up to a worse degree because she was more personally involved in the pain. I was, at points I worried a lot, but at other points I was busy trying to create schemes as to how not to let my parents know and how to get through this as easily as possible. I treated it as a game for in one part of my mind, but it was very serious in another part of my mind. But there's no doubt about it that at that point we were close, as close could be. But unfortunately, eventually we drifted apart. Excuse me, and I became wandering again. I was always constantly throughout the school year trying to look for affection, some sort of basically a female I could lead on and use for support, because grade 13 was a very hard year for me. I had a hard time getting through it. At some points I was just ready to throw it all up, you know, because just quit, throw my books and just quit and forget the whole thing, because it had become such a pain. I think I was emotionally, intellectually, you know, in every sense of the word, too mature to go through with it. It was just culturally they had forced me to go to do this final year, which I really learned too much academic wise, but of course just living a year in your life, you learn a lot socially and you learn a lot intellectually just by talking to the people and through the experiences you have. but it was quite a nightmare for me at points. So I was looking for a female companionship, but I never really found it aside from a few one-night stands with different girls. I remember one night with Christine McGlade, where we were out, it was actually New Year's Eve, which seemed very ironic because after this night I never saw it again. I had relations with her again, and it was supposed to be some sort of, I guess New Year's Eve is symbolic of a birth of something, and it was more like the death of something. We were together that night, and we'd climbed into bed, and I couldn't make love with her. That was the first and last time during a one-nighter where I'd gotten that close to making love to a girl just like that, and I couldn't do it. And I don't know whether it was due to just basic impotence from the alcohol which I'd indulged in, or perhaps some sort of moral block which was holding me back, but I do still feel kind of proud that I didn't succumb to that sort of thing. it's a crazy kind of pride, because it could be rationalization if it was alcohol impotence, but I really do feel good, and to this day I wouldn't let myself have another one-night stand where I would go all the way. And I do feel proud of that. But after that I just kind of rolled on and rolled on it, and after I graduated it seemed like, well, most of my time was spent with working, and I began to become very, very disillusioned with the whole thing. I could not bring myself to become the party kind of dude I was the summer before I went to Europe, where I was trying to pick up girls and things like that. And I found myself drinking to an excessive degree this summer, like extremely excessive every night. And but still I did not feel content. It was an escapist kind of drunk, where last summer it was the alcohol was used as a conjunction within the ceremony of youth. It was basically, last summer it was a ceremony of youth, and tonight it was an escapism, because I had been accepted to Ryerson, and I confirmed the acceptance, and I knew I was going, but yet still I wasn't sure. And to this day, a week before I go to Ryerson, I'm still not sure, you know, whether it's what I want. And I could I continued to use some alcohol as an escape device. So I basically had no girlfriend, because Connie had left for, even though our relationship beforehand had gone sour, she had left for Edmonton to straighten out herself, which I do admire a lot for. But she had, so here I was during this summer here, trying to forget all things. In fact, I just stopped thinking. It was crazy. I couldn't bring myself to think about what I was doing and where I was going. I just lived on a just lived for the moment. I lived for the next hour or two. It was crazy. I didn't care about my work. I didn't care about my friends at all. I was very rude to them on occasion, you know, without substantiation, and basically, it was a very sad sort of stomach. But I guess you could say it was just the final crisis before the end. The climax is appearing now because I know it all seems so sad what I've done. And I'm finally gaining knowledge into what I want. But it's not exactly, I have no idea what I want, but I feel more confident about where I'm going. I'm not even sure where I'm going. I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. I guess you could say I'm entering, you know, the classic second stage of life, university. But I'm not falling into it blindly as I could if I followed the pattern of the whole summer, which I just walked along blindly. I'm finally thinking about it, and at first I was very, very disillusioned about the whole thing. I didn't know what to expect, and I was very skeptical about what I wanted. And now, I've looked at my ideals, and they're fading, and they're slowly changing. A year ago, or 1-2 years ago, I was looking basically at materialistic gains. My whole outlook was materialistic, without a doubt. I wanted a large house, a large car, and you know, financial security. That's just not what I want now. I'm not sure what I want. I'm guess I'm just at that point where the elusive truth seems like something you have to find before you can rationalize the rest of your life. And that's where I am now. Admit that I'm looking for the truth, and I feel as I did before that looking for the truth is not a stagnation, or actually not working towards my materialistic goals is not a stagnation in as far as my progress through life, but now that I've quit my job and I can't have that to lean back on, I'm suddenly starting to think about what I'm going to do in the future, and because I'm so lucky to have parents who can support me while I'm doing this idealistic truth search, which I hope I will come to an end to before I finish university. Because I really don't like to mooch off my parents. I'm hoping that I'll find what I'm looking for. That's all I can say now. It's like I'm moving. It's a complete change. It seems like I'm going to be a totally different person in a week because I'm changing. Everything's changing. I'm changing. I'm the one who has the security of a house to come home to. I'll be in a room in the YMCA. I won't have the friends to call up every night, which is something I'm very, very dependent on right now. Very, very. It's crazy. It's something I'm the most dependent on right now. And I'll be doing, have a time for a lot of thinking because I won't be able to to cover up my thoughts just by partying or working or sleeping or. Oh, well, actually, I have a spare time and I should do nothing because I really won't know too many people. Or I'm going and none of my old friends won't be there at all. But I do feel some sort of destiny to be a success. Even though that may seem unreasonable at this point, because I am basically, I have been stagnant up until tonight, where I finally begin to expand my horizons, beginning by talking about it. But I do feel that someday, somehow, I will basically feel content at what I'm doing. I guess it's that sort of blind faith, which I don't know about anyone else, but which I have. I imagine most other people do it. It's that kind of joie de vivre, or hope, faith. Maybe what I'm thinking is the basic faith that everyone should have about the future. What I'm basically doing now is just trying to become confident with myself. Because, you know, that's one of the keys to success, you know, without a doubt, is to become confident. Personal success. And, I've gone through all the other, I've gone through a lot of different vices to do it. I mean, this summer I've hit extreme decadence. The climax of the whole thing was last Saturday when it was my last day at work and I started drinking at about 8 and eventually a friend of mine got, or a co-worker of mine and myself, we got so drunk we ended up damaging or trashing a bathroom at Uncle at a restaurant, nearby restaurant, and then being incredibly nauseous at a Chinese restaurant. I feel very, very bad about what I did, and in feeling bad, I'm beginning to reject my lifestyle the whole summer, which I feel is good because I really wasn't going anywhere this summer. I was just being stagnant, and now, which is 2 days after that incident where I was stumbling all over the east end of Ottawa, painting the town red and generally wreaking havoc, almost coming very close in points to killing myself or getting arrested. I know that I've done all that I can do in that vein, and now I've got to move on to something a bit more positive. Not that I did not learn from that experience. It's just that I've taken it as far as I can go. And tonight, I actually, we were together with it was the whole group of the gang, or so-called gang, of everyone I knew. And throughout my last 2 years of high school, and I literally blew up at 2 of my closest friends and demanded them or yelled at them to stop playing head games and to become honest with each other, because they do
one's male, one's female, and they really, really do love each other, but they're caught up in this trap of partying and jumping around from person to person and not being tied down, that they can't admit this love to each other. And it's very, very sad to me. It suddenly became very, very sad. It's crazy. And I came down upon them. Harshly, harshly. And now I'm beginning to wonder whether I was being too harsh because maybe they haven't reached the same stage as I have. I'm starting to feel bad about it because maybe I've introduced them to something that they're not ready for, or maybe I'm being too presumptuous again. I don't know. It's still very, very mixed up for me.
What should you work for?
Do that.